This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big shows. We continue to roll on. Top of the hour, 3 o'clock as we head till 4 before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. As we have very special guests in the office, shall we say.
Studio
office.
You want to tell them it was the quill convention?
Yeah, Lamont texted the show and said the reason why there's no hotels downtown is there's a huge-ass quilt convention in town.
Mm.
That's insane to me. They sold out.
Yeah, I saw a feature on the news last week, and they said it's literally the Super Bowl of quilting.
Wow.
That's who cool. knew, right?
That's weird. Why bring that to Houston?
There's probably some dope-ass quilts here, though.
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard the phrase.
I mean, I bet if you grab a quilt, you can cuddle up and watch the TV and put a quilt around you. That's pretty nice.
And if we can bring this whole thing together, then you could either be in the band with a hot quilt, or there might be some hot chicks making quilts at the convention. I was telling these guys about previously.
I have a feeling hot chicks don't make quilts. I don't think that's a thing.
You never know. It could be a whole millennial thing, you know?
Okay. Yeah, you know, I guess so.
They make quilts out of needles. Vintage t-shirts. You know?
That's true. Patches.
They're now, skilled with needles.
Are you guys Lakers fans from L.A.?
No. I'm very interested in this new team. But
yeah. I'm a basketball fan.
Okay.
I like all basketball. I mean, you guys got Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's cool.
For you, Clippers over Lakers or other way around?
Yeah, I just like good basketball. Like, you know, I'm a LeBron fan.
Okay.
I know he's playing tomorrow here. But, you know, Boston, I'm stoked on them. They're doing well. Kyrie seems like he's having fun. Who else? Milwaukee's doing good.
Big trade for Milwaukee, too.
Milwaukee, they got the guy from Arizona, right?
Yep.
Little troublemaker.
Bledsoe,
right? We'll see what happens there. So everyone's kind of like, you know, everyone is, whatchamacallit, everyone is moving around and trying to balance out. You know, everyone wants Golden State, so, right?
Yeah. Is the Ball family a big deal in L.A.? Because, of course, in Sports Talk Radio, we talk a lot about Lonzo Ball and his dad and Big Baller. Is it a big deal Sandy? In L.A.?
Yeah. I mean, anywhere he goes, he stirs up a bunch of people coming up to him, and people definitely talking about him there. But, like, you know, just like with any famous person in L.A., people are kind of over it.
Right. God, I wish the rest of the country would be over it.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. Why, they think he's sliced bread?
No, just tired of talking about it.
It's just a pain in the ass. They thought it was his 15 seconds of fame, and 15 seconds has lasted way too long, 15 months, seems like.
Lonzo keeps passing the ball as soon as he gets it and shooting 30%, they're not going to be talking about him for too much longer.
Plus, he may be making a lot of express flights to China unless he gets his kid out of jail.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, he's got some things to worry about.
What's going on in China again? Because I heard about...
Yeah, so the middle brother, LiAngelo was shoplifting. And got allegedly caught shoplifting.
He was on a trip there with UCLA.
So UCLA's there. They're supposed to play there Saturday night.
Wow.
Right next to the hotel is a Louis Vuitton shop.
Wow.
And he and two other, I think, freshmen, all three freshmen, supposedly stole sunglasses.
Mm.
So they held both teams, they're playing Georgia Tech, in a room for 5 hours and started questioning them. They let the Georgia Tech guys go about halfway through. They narrowed it down to who they thought from UCLA, and then they threw the three kids in jail. Now, supposedly they've bailed out, but now we're hearing there's a 99% prosecution rate for stealing in China, and the sentence is between 3 and 5 years.
Mm.
Mr. Ball might have some work to do.
Maybe he can play for the China League.
Yeah, Yao Ming's over there. You know, he might want to help him out.
That might be better for him, actually. Didn't Allen Iverson go over to play for the Chinese League?
Yeah. Did he?
Plus, Marbury. Trump's over there now.
Yeah.
Trump
can bail. Marbury's
I think Josh Smith
there.
Is there right now.
No, he just got signed by New Orleans.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Jay Smoove got another chance in the league.
It's kind of like, what is it? It's like big fish, small pond, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you go over there, and you're not in the NBA, but you're in like the Asian League, and... probably killing it over there.
Yeah.
Michael Beasley averaged like 40 points and 20 rebounds.
And Marbury goes over there. He creates his own brand, the Starberry shoe, $15 a pair.
Yeah.
Those are blowing up.
And of course, they're made in America.
Wrong.
Well, but I'm boom.
And then they win like several titles. And now he's got like a statue.
Yeah. He's big time.
He's like a country
hero. He's like a Chinese baby. Huh?
What? Now, okay.
Let's talk about women's basketball. All right, next conversation. No.
Exactly. You want to talk soccer next? Next page.
I mean, I love, you know, women doing anything that guys do. I think that's cool. But basketball, I don't want to see women play basketball.
Not a big WNBA fan?
Well, it's just like I don't want to see women not look attractive. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They don't look attractive when they're playing basketball.
Not
do
a season
they?
Ticket holder for the Sparks?
No, I like, you know, maybe
it turns
female,
me on when I get dunked on.
I think female like volleyball players are kind of hot.
Okay, beach? Yeah.
Yeah, beach volleyball definitely. Players are kind of hot. Female golfers are hot. That's
really?
Kind of sexy. Yeah.
You know, wrestlers? Like,
you know, no, I don't. The boxing babes, the UFC
or
babes?
Or WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of hot.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's, I don't know about the MMA. That's, I don't want to
Have you ever
like
been with like
ass.
A really buff chick?
No. That's what I'm saying. I don't want a girl that could whip my ass. Never.
You've
Have
never
you?
Been with like I want to be with one, which makes me think I'm kind of I might be gay. You know what I mean?
Maybe
because being with a chick that's really buff is like being with a what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a dude.
Okay.
But it's you know what
strong
I mean?
Jawline.
You want to verify that she arm wrestling? Doesn't have outdoor plumbing before you get to that point?
No, but I think it would be just it'd be bizarre to be with a really buff chick. You know what I mean? Like the kind of chiseled up kind that's like kind of steroidy, you know?
Like she could whack you around the room?
She's got a golf ball for, you know what I'm talking about.
Golf ball.
You know what I mean?
Yes, you could say it. It's the medical
I'm
term for
it.
No, you don't want to.
Clitoris?
You know, yeah, you could say that's the medical
golf
term
ball
for it.
Clitoris.
Yeah, you could say that.
There you go.
He's like, well,
Nick,
I can really
Nick's
say that?
In there going, I'm not even going to push the button on that one.
Now, we're on tape delay, think, right?
Nick? Yeah, there's 8 seconds if you say something wrong.
But now, females, but WNBA.
Not your thing?
Because they need like a Michael Jordan type player to bring them into the mainstream.
Do they?
They thought they had that with Cynthia Cooper and Cheryl Swoops, but that didn't happen.
And Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, but she went overseas to play because they didn't pay
for 1 year. She's back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then the girl from here who dunks, who went to high school, Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
Didn't she get in trouble
for having a voice deeper than all of ours?
Yeah.
That's not why.
Oh no.
No.
I like babes though.
Yeah.
Babes are cool. Yeah.
Now I have a question for you. Yeah. So are. There's a show out. I don't know you. I mean, I'm sure you know about it, but it's called "I'm Dying Up Here."
Yes.
Are you a fan of that show?
Ask Polly right there.
Polly, are you a fan of that show?
Well, dude,
it's okay. I mean, you know, it's like you know, I lived it, so it's like I watch it, I dissect it. It's like, no, bro, that's not what happened.
I was gonna say because if you don't know, a lot of people think that some of it is loosely based or combined on the Comedy Store, which Polly, your mom started. Mitzi started the Comedy Store, and a lot of people will say it was the first like legit comedy club.
Yeah, it's like they're telling my mom's story, but like she's not the one telling it. So you tell me if that's right.
Yeah, that's what I was curious to see. I mean, like,
I mean, for me, it's weird to watch. You know what I mean? Because it's not true at all.
Yeah.
But I don't look at it that way. I look at it like, is this a good show or a bad show? And I think it was a pretty good show. Just as a show, you know, because it's like most people just sit there and pick their nose and like, is this good or bad? Like, people don't, they don't dive into something and be like, and dissect it. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, is this dope or is it not dope? Do I want to watch it? Do I not want to watch it? And I think it's pretty cool. But then there's all that stuff about my mom, which, you know, that's Jim Carrey's version of the book. You know, he licensed or he optioned a book called I'm Dying Up Here based off of, you know, comedy in the 70s. And it was written by some dude that wasn't really part of the Comedy Store at all. But he took a lot of stories. Do you know what
I
mean?
Right, that he heard.
Yeah.
Now, did you have a choice? I mean, were you always going to be a stand-up comic? Or was it one of those things where it was you had a choice?
Polly, what's up, bro?
Dude, yeah, I was born this way, like Lady Gaga, right?
Do you get asked this a lot? Is that how you, I mean, like.
No, okay. I answered, sorry. I don't know. I just, it's one of those things that I was fortunate in life to find something that I would do because I love to do it. I think that's the key. I'm not saying you guys are getting paid a lot of money to do what you're doing right now. Probably not.
Nope.
Right? But my point is you love it.
Yeah.
You come in here, you love sports, you love being connected to the people. And that's your motivation. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going, oh my God, like for this week I'm here with Ken at the joke show. It's not like I get paid millions of dollars. Get paid a little bit. But once I'm on stage, I really enjoy myself. And I enjoy, I mean, I'm getting more from the audience than the audience is getting from me. Meaning like that love, that like
that connection.
That connection, because I don't have it at home. You know, my mom's sick. I don't get along with my brothers. You know what I mean? It's I'm kind of by myself. I have a girlfriend, but, you know, that's kind of weird. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, you know what I mean?
But growing up in that environment, was it something that you felt like you watched it and felt like you had to do it or you wanted to do it? Or it was just like you were always around all the different comedians that's what I want to do.
My brothers and my sister have been around it just as much as me, and they're not into it.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, you look at any actor family that grows up, I think, you know, with a family that's in the business, you know, three of them get into it, two of them don't. I don't know. It's just one of those things that I've always been into making people laugh.
Cool.
You know, like, and then the movies and all that shit. You know? Yeah. So, oops. I said.
Oh, Nick.
Now.
Should have been paying attention.
Now, do you get, because you do the shows, and I think you're in Dallas. When you leave here, you're headed up to Dallas for the weekend to do Hyenas Club up there, which is a great club. I like Randy up there, too. Do you get tired of, because I know you get it a lot, where people come up, oh, it's the Weasel,
hey,
and doing
buddy,
all the stuff from, do you get sick of it?
I get tired when people what?
Dude, it's like you're doing me to me, right?
Yeah.
I get tired like when this. You're asking me if people
I get,
ask me.
I get.
Wait, watch this. This is funny. Right.
Do it, yeah. Sandy.
Dude, I get tired of people asking me if I'm tired of people doing me to me.
Dude, that's okay.
Sense.
Yeah, that makes
people
sense.
People always ask me what you ask me. It's
yeah,
hilarious.
I'm sure, but I mean, I would personally get sick of it. It would drive me nuts.
It's, you know, it's kind of like you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you. You
right.
know,
it's flattering.
Yeah,
but it's overdone, right?
Who cares? I made it. People know who I am. It's like,
well, we were talking about it yesterday.
Why would I be at all like, I mean, you know what? I'm successful in the business that I got into based on the fact that people know me.
Yeah.
Good or bad. You know what I mean? It's like, you're in the business and show business to make it and have people recognize you.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, like your work, you like this. Like, if they didn't do that, then that would be not good. Imagine
well,
if
we said when you look at MTV or anybody thinks MTV, the most famous person coming out of the MTV generation is you. Mm. I mean, someone suggested Carson Daly, maybe way down the line. Mm. But when you think MTV,
he was
especially
later
the early
and
years,
he never got into films. He's always been like a host.
Right.
You know
right.
I mean?
And he did a lot of, you know, he had the late night
well,
talk
he
show.
Was,
and,
but he was Carson is a he is more of an interviewer, you know, or like a host.
Right.
Yeah. I was like acting in films and stand up and albums and music and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you being here. Thanks for coming out. Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. What we're going to do right now is we're going to give away a pair of tickets to your show tonight at the Joke Joint. So we'll take caller number 5, 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, you're going to have two tickets waiting for you at Will Call. Our interns will get your information, just name, number, and email, Nick. And then it'll be you plus one with tickets waiting for you at the Joke Joint Will Call.
Yeah.
713-780-3776, caller number 5.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being here, Sandy.
And go Rockets, and congratulations to the Astros. I know Houston needed it. I mean, I haven't seen the areas that have been hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know my hotel room looks pretty bad, but that wasn't from Harvey. But where's the areas that are still kind of tweaked?
They're still all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Meyerland, lot close by Meyerland in that area, Bel Air, where, you know, neighborhoods.
So like looking out the window right now, was there water? You saw it?
You can see it all over the place. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How did it get sucked out?
Bayous. It's a bayou city. A lot of water. A lot of the water that accumulates in this city goes from the bayous out to, you know, the Gulf. I mean,
and one of the sticking points is they have reservoirs, and the reservoirs were ready to burst. So then, when they released that water, neighborhoods that otherwise wouldn't have gotten flooded got flooded too. So it was.
So how are you guys fixing it?
It's been that way since Houston's been here. They're not fixing it, I guess, is the short answer.
They're
not doing anything about it.
The 100-year flood. It wasn't supposed to happen for another 100 years.
Oh. They said it was, you know, there's the 100-year floods and the 500-year floods, which is supposed to be how often it occurs. They said this was like a 900, 800-year flood. So it was that bad. So they don't expect it to happen like that again. But, yeah, around the city, they're not fixing it.
So how much money did the government and FEMA and all that give you guys?
They're still sorting that out.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? A lot of my friends and coworkers here still haven't got their FEMA money. I know Michelle, who works in our promotions department, hasn't gotten her FEMA money yet.
Lost
so
everything.
Lost. I mean, everything.
And JJ Watt raised
still rebuilding.
Almost 40 mil, but they're trying to sort out the best way to be upfront in distributing that. So
still rebuilding. It's going to take a year. It's going to take a while.
There's also Houston.
Trust the process.
Houston itself seems a little thrashed, though. Just like as far as buildings and right. Yeah, anyway,
it's old,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. See? It needs help. It needs a lot of assistance in that, right?
Yeah, I said that a while back when I got back from Dallas, and I got in trouble because people got mad at me being from Houston. That I said I think Dallas is a cleaner city. Oh,
yeah, it's
really? I caught hell for that. Storm. Yeah, I caught hell for that. So. Mm. Well, Paulie, thank you for being here. Sandy, thank you for being here. Thank you for having me.
Again,
thanks, guys. Joke Joint Comedy Showcase.
Follow us on Snapchat, Paulie Shore, Twitter, Paulie Shore, Instagram, Paulie Shore, Sandy.
Sandy Danto.
D-A-N-T-O. We'll be there tonight. Joke Joint, Paulie Shore, and
Sandy Danto.
Signing off. Later, dudes.
All right, we'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, back on the Usual Suspects. That was fun. Paulie and Sandy, like they said, and Barry confirmed, Joke Joint, 45 and Fuquay. Always got to be careful when I say it that way and say it fast. But tonight, tomorrow night, catch him. Good dude. Really good dude. Funny guy. And he's big on the fist bump, which means that he's just like Barry. He might have an issue with germs. We don't know. So as we continue to roll on, news of the day as I scroll the globe. Headline in the Chronicle that Alex Bregman didn't think Saturday Night Live was really live, Nick.
What?
Yeah.
It's not like it's before his time. It's been pretty relevant for a while.
He said, I didn't personally think it was live. Then I went up there and they're like, no, it's live, a real audience. I'm about to go on stage and my heart is pounding and I'm like, don't mess this up. Don't mess up your line. But they did a good job of coaching us up and helping us out. We had like 8 dry runs to make sure we got it done right. Altuve and I knocked our line out and Springer knocked his, so it was cool.
Well, how many lines did he have? I mean, he didn't have that many lines.
He didn't say that much. And like Springer's initial thing was all like, hey, what'd you say? Wait, what were you talking about when Leslie Jones was all about the Yankees? But then it was basically kind of her talking and then putting Altuve on her lap. But you mean you got to think about it. The best thing you can do in that situation is go in and not think. Because if you're thinking about it and you think, well, there's a studio audience, and then you think about the millions of people at home that watch that show, it can mess with you a little bit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's probably not that easy to go on Saturday Night Live and do the thing. You know, just do it, especially if you've never done it. Some people are naturals. Like there's some people I didn't expect to be good, like Taylor Swift. When she did it, I was actually kind of impressed. Like, I was like, wow, she was meant for
like
the moment.
Like Peyton Manning, you were
meant
like,
for the moment.
Yeah, and he was hilarious.
Yeah.
When he was on there. That one bit where he takes the kids to play touch football at the playground, starts drilling them in the head with passes, and that there's some people that really excel doing it, but it's kind of like the whole Kyrie Irving is the world flat.
Yeah.
Alex
Bregman, some people
not
do well
knowing.
with spotlights. Paulie Shore is another one. I mean, he could take whatever's thrown at him. So.
It's so funny because he's kind of chill and stuff, but then when we walked out past the interns and the bully, he just immediately just started messing with everybody, messing with Craig and a couple of the other interns. Yeah, you can see you talk about being a professional, he can flip that switch.
No doubt.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, we were talking about it and the fact that, you know, and he's got a great job in just deflecting things to Sandy, that he's either gets asked too much or he also gets Sandy involved in the deal, which is
great. That's why I asked him. I was like, do you get asked that a lot? And he was like, actually, no. But I think he just sometimes he wants to hear, give himself time to think of an answer. Or in the case of the asking him about people coming up and doing the voices and stuff, I'm sure he does get asked that a lot, but our listeners have probably never heard it. I mean, when's the last time Paulie Shore was interviewed on our airwaves? You know what I mean? So
right.
You got to ask it. It sucks. It's like the first question that Deshaun Watson is going to get asked is about his knee and everything. You got to ask some of those questions. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like asking Carlton from The Fresh Prince, Afonso Ribeiro, to do the Carlton.
Or the Michael Jackson.
Right.
Because he was known for both.
Sure. But most kids in that era remembered him doing the Carlton. And it's like, do you get mad about it or do you appreciate the fact you still get gigs and do things because of the Carlton?
Well, that's what I liked his answer because I didn't think about it that way. I think for me, it would get old. It would get on my nerves. But he was like, no, dude, like that's what made me. That's how I got famous. Why would I hate that? That's a great answer. I mean, it's an honest response. You know what I mean?
Don't bite the hands that have followed you.
Which I appreciated. I also appreciated his honesty when I asked him about I'm Dying Up Here. And I know you guys have never watched that show on Showtime. But if you're into stand-up comedy at all, it's a good show about stand-up. There's a lot of stuff that's not accurate about how things work, like he was talking about. They're in there doing these writing, and that's not a lot of it is just sitting around staring at each other and BSing about stuff that's not comedy related. Mm-hmm. But that would be a boring show.
Right.
But yeah, it was supposedly based off of his mom, Mitzi Shore, who started the Comedy Store. The Goldie is the main character, and it's not specifically based on her, but loosely based. So it was good to get his take, because I had always wondered that since I started watching it. Is I wonder how Mitzi and Pauly and the folks at the Comedy Store are appreciating or not appreciating this show. So that was cool.
I loved his candid answers too about his family and where what his situation is now and things like that. But I mean, yeah, if you don't know, as Barry said, his mom started the Comedy Store, and you know, he went to Beverly Hills High School, and he's an LA kid, and at 17 he just decided this is what he wanted to do, and he's been doing it ever since.
Yeah. And by the way, tons of texts like, oh, my God, is it me or does Pauly Shore and Trey sound just alike?
Yeah, Ron came in here and said that. Tweets on Twitter.
I was thinking half the time when he was just pointing to Sandy, it was like, do y'all know which one that is that's answering that?
Yeah, but yeah, him and Trey, they do kind of sound the same, not going to lie.
Do you know the time of the show, Pauly Shore Short?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, yeah.
There you have it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, get caught up, and then we're going to catch up with the final half hour of the big show. We still got to get our midseason predictions for NFL out of the way.
Yeah.
And got a whole lot more to cram into a whole little bit of time before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. You get Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, back for the final half hour of the big show, as it's Barry, Nick, and Joel. Happy to have Sandy and Pauly Shore join us last half hour. Good stuff. That dude is crazy.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That's good. Good times.
Really good guy.
Yeah. Super, super nice guy. As somebody was asking, I thought his voice was just an act. No, that's how he talks when he's not on air. Like just when you're talking to him, and he's cool too. You know, you hear stories about celebrities that you meet,
right?
And he was a bit like, hey, you know, why are you guys videoing? But I get that because you don't want to be caught off guard, and he's got an image, and you're like, what the hell's going on? And I imagine that he gets ambushed and bombarded and all that stuff a lot, anyways. So that would make me nervous. But afterwards, like, you know, taking pics and just, yeah, cool dude, man. Real nice.
Yeah, real cool guy.
Not a guy that I think, because I've heard things, and I don't think that his reputation preceded him. He was a nice dude.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, back in the day in other circles, I ran into him a couple times, and you talked to people, and there were mixed reviews, but he was a great dude.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sandy's a great guy.
Yeah.
So that was very cool. He back in the day, always had a girl on both arms at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, that MTV thing.
I mean, he's Pauly Shore.
No
doubt. Of
course
he was getting ass.
And remember now, he
probably still is.
After he told that great story about failing the first time at spring break, then he became like the main guy on spring break with MTV.
Yeah.
Think about all the chicks coming up to him in bikinis on the beach during spring break on MTV at the height of his success.
It's funny because I didn't remember him being on that first Spring Break Live until he mentioned it. And then while he was talking, I was thinking, and then the more he talked about it and I had time to process it, I do remember him bombing.
Really?
That's like, yeah, I think there's probably even video of it out there, but I do remember that. But then, boy, you talk about bouncing back and resurrecting it, right?
No doubt. And becoming really the face of the network.
Yeah,
the early years of MTV anyway, right?
Yeah, you come on this show like your first time and you bomb and they're like, you know what? You're probably not going to.
Yeah, not your thing.
Yeah, he bounced back though.
Somebody said Bill Bellamy. I mean, maybe later in life, later years too, Bill Bellamy picked up just like Yo MTV Raps, but they never got to the levels of Pauly Shore.
Somebody said you should ask Pauly Shore about band. No, we're not going to do that. And Lamont's making fun of us because we still haven't got to our picks. We should do that right now.
All right, let's do them right now.
We should get to that right now.
Let's get them out of the
way. Our mid-season awards.
We get big-time guests, and we got to take a break, Lamont.
Yeah.
We got you in. We got all kinds of good stuff. Well, and then some stuff we should have gotten in. But, you know, that's the way things go.
I feel like there's been a lot of inappropriate things said on this show today, specifically. Yeah. I mean, obviously,
thanks, Pauly.
We've said a lot of inappropriate things, but today I feel like there was a lot. And you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
We're kind of bridging the gap between the end of the World Series and a weekend of football. Take it easy, people.
Yeah.
The Rockets haven't played or anything.
Good times.
All right, so midseason awards in the NFL. We all know that these are going to be asterisk with a few injuries.
Uh-oh. You're already...
Deshaun Watson.
You're already...
What
okay.
I'm talking about.
Okay.
But okay. All right, Nick, you with us? We're going to go through one at a time. We'll save the best for last. So we'll save MVP for last.
Do we really... We can just get that out of the way because I have a feeling the answer is the same.
You think it's unanimous?
It's definitely unanimous.
Nick might be the only wild card. Nick, who do you have for NFL MVP?
I don't really have one. I mean, I was going to go either...
Wentz.
We'll say it for you. Carson
Wentz. Yeah, I mean...
Carson Wentz is probably one. And then... Well, yeah, it has to be Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best team, best record, and he's leading them every step of the way.
I mean, if you want to throw out Alex Smith or Brady or whatever, that's okay. But at
now, Brady's
going
to be his biggest competition. Smith has kind of fallen off a little bit, and they're not winning as many when they were undefeated to start the season at 5-0, I think it was.
Yep.
But Wentz is just killing it.
Okay. But I think we can all say Wentz right now.
Yeah, excuse that's fair.
Me. Yeah, there you go, Nick.
Now my balls just dropped, like right there. That was weird. I just went through puberty live on air. Oh, my God. All right.
All right, defensive player of the year. See, for me, this is a two-man race.
Okay.
All right, and so...
I saw that you had listed two, so yeah. Who are you picking? You can only go with one.
I'm going to say by the end of the year, because I still expect the Jaguars
off. This is right now.
I'm saying, right, by the end of the year, there's going to be a drop-off for the Jaguars. I think DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys is going to win it.
This is right now, Joel. Who do you think up to the first 8 to 9 games, depending on their schedule?
I'll stick with DeMarcus Lawrence. He's your
defensive player of the year.
Calais Campbell, and I think he affects more things in the run game and across the board on the defensive line. I'll say DeMarcus Lawrence.
I'm with you. I went with DeMarcus Lawrence as well, because if you're saying end of the year, I'll give you a guy who don't sleep on, that he could have Joey Bosa.
Oh, without question.
Could do some things.
He's only a sack and a half behind.
Yeah, so that might be a guy by the end of the year that ends up winning it. But, like, I'm with you, DeMarcus Lawrence, right now.
I was going to say Joey Bosa at first, but then when I started looking at the numbers, it's not fair to give it to him.
I mean, he's top three right now,
top four. For a mid-season award.
Right.
So I'll go with Calais Campbell as well. I thought at first when he got all those sacks against the Texans, it was just because of the O-line.
Right.
Yeah. But, no, he's actually he's a beast.
He's got 11 right now?
Something like
that. Yeah,
he's got like 11 to lead the league. Okay, offensive rookie of the year right now, Deshaun Watson. Right now.
Even with the game that he missed?
It's a good point. On a technicality, for the first 8 games.
That's why it was hard for me.
Guess what? Kareem Hunt basically took a game off last game too. But he didn't have a great game.
Yeah.
So,
but Kareem Hunt's still leading the league in rushing as a rookie too.
I understand, but when you look at the numbers that we were talking about and bragging about what he was putting up, and the things that he was doing until he hurt his knee, I just think Deshaun Watson to me was the guy.
But here's what I want to argue with you for a second about. Because what?
Come on.
Because when you look at so there's obviously like QB rating and all that, right? You can look at touchdowns, interceptions, 19 touchdowns, and that's great. That's, I think, number one still. No, 23. Carson Wentz has 23. And then Deshaun Watson a second. But when you look at like yards and stuff like that, he's not doing a lot from that perspective. You know what I mean?
From the standpoint of one winning over the media and the national.
But I'm looking at it on the field.
Okay,
but
we're talking about who would win it right now, and the fact that he took a team that absolutely couldn't score 16 points in a game.
True.
And made him
look at the offense now.
Made him the top scoring team in the league.
Yep.
And go over 30 some points a game for 3 or 4 games in a row, had 300 plus yards in all those games. And he made an offensive line look respectable. And he used his legs. And he led his teams to wins. Look, the obvious choice is Kareem Hunt, but I just think
I'm with you
for overall. But I just think Watson, to me, for all he did for this franchise in a short period of time.
I'm with you through the first 8 games. You could make a great case and give it to Watson. I gave it to Hunt just because he's leading the league in rushing.
And he'll win it now.
Yeah. And Nick, who did you have?
I'll give it to Hunt because Watson missed that game. I put a lot of weight in that.
Now. But here's the thing, though. Like with Watson, he's got the touchdowns. But if we were to say, do you think he's top 5, top 10, top 15, or top 20 in yards per game? What do you think he is?
Well, that's tough because the Jacksonville game, he played a half. The second game was Cincinnati, and that was just a slugfest.
I'm just saying in general. What do you think? This is average.
Top half.
No, he is 14th. Yeah, so he's top half. Basically top 15.
And the slow start didn't help him, and then missing the last game didn't help him.
No, he's averaging 243 yards a game. So not, I think people would tell you, he's got to be around 275, 300, something like that. Not really, but you can't deny what he does when you watch. You know, it's one of those things where you can look at stats all day long, but all you got to do is watch the games, and you know that he's a hell of a quarterback.
That's your eye test. And by the way, Tom Savage is online, too, trying to see if we can get those stats for him for next week. Yeah. So 243 passing yards expected.
Would love that. All right, so you're going Watson, I'm going Hunt, and Nick's going Hunt. Okay.
All right, defensive rookie of the year. This one was pretty wide open. There's a lot of choices. I remember what I said at the start of the year, and he still could be there at the end of the year, and that would be J.J. Watt's brother in Pittsburgh. But I'm going to go right now with Tre'Davious White, and everybody's going to go, who? but he is a cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, and he leads the league in interceptions.
Okay. And I think, yeah, if you look at, like you said, just statistically,
yep,
I could see going with that. For me, when you look at, you know, overall and how they just ability-wise and everything else and the way they're playing, I'm going to go with Marshon Lattimore.
Okay.
I think
New Orleans.
Yep, I think he is probably already one of the best cover corners in the NFL.
So you and I go corners. Nick, who you got?
I'm gonna go with the safety. Kind of a weird pick, but Jamal Adams of the Jets.
I mean,
he tends to get a lot of tackles just because of his speed. That's
he
what I hear
the
a lot.
House too. He's a big kid.
But yeah, I mean, despite the tackles being a little deceiving, the tackle number, I'm gonna go with Jamal Adams, safety for the Jets.
Ashton Jean Lewis said, "Can the Saints defense get comeback player of the year?"
Yeah,
they might.
No doubt. Just ask Clarence. He's got a whole lot to brag about right now.
Right.
And finally, your coach of the year at the midway point in the NFL. And to me, this is not who I had early because of the way they got out of the gates. But to me, just like the MVP, it became very clear just based on record. But I said Doug Peterson.
Okay. Eagles.
Yeah, you're Eagles. You're 8-1, and you're kicking ass and taking names.
But let me tell you why I went with who I went with. And I went with Sean McVay of the Rams.
Okay.
And I know you think I love me some Rams, and I kind of do. But when you consider that the Eagles were 7-9 last year, and the Rams were 4-12 with Jeff Fisher, and Jared Goff was made fun of, and now you look what this team is doing in 1 year, and the only real difference is the coaching change.
Yeah.
Sean McVay deserves a ton of credit, and he deserves a credit for going out and getting Wade Phillips as well.
No question.
But that's part of your job as a head coach, is to put the right coordinators in place to make your team successful. And I think he's done that.
See, and I think in a few years when he graduates high school, I'll take him more seriously. But until then, you know, I think he's still, you know, earning his stripes. No, I think the coach in Buffalo, I think that the stories that you have with the Bills and the Rams were completely out of nowhere. And a sleeper would be Doug Marrone in Jacksonville, simply because aside from you picking him as a wild card, no one saw it with Blake Bortles. Jacksonville doing what they're doing and being where they are.
Especially with Blake Bortles. So you're doing a hell of a coaching job. Yeah.
I would say Sean McDermott of the Bills. I didn't think the Bills would do that well.
Yep.
I think the Eagles head coach, Doug Peterson, is a fantastic choice. His play calling is crazy. I mean, he does really well with picking the right play at the right time. But, yeah, I don't think a lot of people thought the Bills were going to be where they were. So Sean McDermott, I'll give him a lot of credit. So up until now, midseason award.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somebody texted and said Alvin Kamara, offensive rookie of the year. I mean, he would certainly be in the running. He's a ball player. But
he's
Hunt,
good.
But what Hunt is doing and has done, he's leading the league in rushing.
And again, late start. And three-headed backfield in New Orleans. Now it's two. He's sharing with Ingram, but he's starting to really shine. But Hunt is the man in Kansas City, and he does it out of the backfield. He does it running the football. He does it in so many ways that it's hard to turn the other cheek with him.
Yeah, somebody also said, if healthy, where would Dalvin Cook be in the mix for Rookie of the Year?
Oh,
he could easily be leading all rookies in rushing yards.
No argument here.
Yeah, I mean, he's no doubt special, but that's the thing. I'm not giving an award to a guy that's not healthy.
Right, and won't be till hopefully the start of next season.
Yeah.
But, look, what he showed in a small sample size was out of this world fantastic. And he fits that Minnesota system beautifully with exactly what they needed.
So, yeah.
All right, there's our picks. We got them out of the way. Midway point in the NFL. So we got one segment to go before we turn over the show
to
Fred,
college
AJ,
later or what?
And the Blitz. If we do want to get to the NCAA picks, there's only two of them, so we can get to those coming out.
Do that on the flip. Yeah. Heisman and Coach of the Year.
Yeah, we'll get to those and then set you up for Fred and AJ as we continue to roll on a really fun Way Back Wednesday as I finish out the third hour with some of mine on the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects in what has been a very fun and entertaining show. If you missed any of it, catch it on a podcast, because we had Pauly Shore. We had still more stories from Bandcamp. We had favorite posters, and we had some sports. Right now, before we get any further, I do want to tell you guys about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. They are fantastic. If you got any problems with your tires, your rims, or your car, or you just want to spruce up the look and feel of your car, your vehicle, go see my friends at American Wheel and Tire. I've been telling you for a long time. I've been going there for 15 years, just as long as Mike and Tammy Gust have owned the shop. They're at 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop. And if you want to get samples of what they've been able to do for a lot of vehicles in Houston, go to AmericanWheelAndTire.com. From lift kits to Kevlar wraps to coatings, off-road accessories, they got it all. It's really cool because they soup up a lot of vehicles. And I think it's on the first Thursday of every month. They have an auto show right in their parking lot. And you can bring your automobile creations there and have kind of a car show. It's pretty cool. But the main thing that I want to tell you about with American Wheel and Tire is if you get a flat tire or a damaged rim, if you go to some of the bigger national stores, they're going to tell you immediately you got to replace one, if not both. Right there at American Wheel and Tire, they're going to look at what you have. They're going to tell you if you need it, and they're going to tell you if they can fix it and repair it and patch it without having to spend the extra money on the rim of the tire. And they keep in stock the traditional rims and tires from the different motor vehicle companies, so you don't have to go any further. It doesn't take any longer in the process, and it saves you a bunch of time and money. Check them out, 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, or AmericanWheelandTire.com. All right, so as we continue to roll on, we've promised everybody, because we did get a little behind schedule with Pauly, as Lamont said, by the way, that Pauly Shore retweeted him, so he's finally made it. I think that was about the quilting conversation.
Maybe. Oh, was it?
But we went from our pro picks at the midway point to now we're heading down the home stretch at college. So let's go with, I guess we just, in college there's just two, right? And we were talking about the Heisman, and we were talking about the fact that Gus Johnson said the overwhelming favorite now, the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak, is Baker Mayfield. And I was like, what? But when you look at the fact that he almost threw for 600 yards,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at his overall stats across the board,
yeah.
and then you look at the fact that Penn State's petering out, Barkley, who was like hands-on favorite for the first half of the season and then some, now looks like he's a distant memory unless he makes a late push. So I guess I'll go with what the numbers don't lie. I'll say Baker Mayfield.
Well, I mean, Penn State is on a two-game losing streak.
Yeah, I know.
And you're not going to give the Heisman to a guy.
Well, Lamar Jackson at the end of the year kind of faded.
Well, but I'm saying right now, if you're doing an award, you're not going to give that to him being on a two-game losing. If we did this 2 weeks ago, yeah, I'm with you. After their win at Michigan or at home against Michigan, yeah, he probably gets it. But, yeah, I'm with Gus. I think right now you kind of have to give it to Baker Mayfield. I mean, OU is number five in the country. They're knocking on the door of the playoffs. He's putting up ridiculous numbers. I was looking at something where somebody said, like, Barkley could have fallen as far as fourth behind Bryce Love and Khalil Tate. So, not going well for him. Mm-mm. But, yeah, I'm going to go Mayfield. You say Mayfield as
yep.
well?
Yep.
Nick, who you got?
I was actually going to say Barkley, but you guys bring up some really good points. But, I mean, Barkley is a guy that goes up against really, really good defenses and has success. I know he's on a two-game losing streak, but you take away Barkley, you've basically taken away that Penn State team. And that's how important he is to that squad, and that's kind of why I picked him, because I'm talking defenses that look like they're NFL-ready defenses on college football teams, and he goes in there and he has his way with them, and that's really, really hard to do. But, yeah, the important
thing. And he runs back kicks and punts, too. I mean, that's something you don't see a really solid tailback doing in college football or the pros.
Plus, how important the running game is at the college football level, that's another thing. So that's the reason why I picked Barkley, but I totally get the Baker Mayfield, you know, arguments. They make sense.
I think it's a two-horse race.
Okay.
Without question. All right, then Coach of the Year. I mean, if you want me to go first on all of them.
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
For me, mm-hmm. when you consider that they weren't even ranked when the season started, mm-hmm. and they currently sit at number three in the playoffs, I'm going to go Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
Okay.
I mean, to me, you know, you could make the case for Kirby Smart at Georgia, but Georgia was, I want to say they were ranked like 12th or 15th when the season started. Notre Dame wasn't even considered in the top 25. To get this team all the way to number three, and really all you're doing is running the ball. It's not flashy. It's not pretty. Just you pound the rock. You play good defense. I'm going Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kirby Smart inherited a pretty good recruiting class and a pretty full cupboard when it comes to what Mark Richt left before he took off after being let go to go to Miami. And Mark Richt showed you what kind of coach he is, because he's having a hell of a year with the Hurricanes. You had my two candidates right there. Brian Kelly was not, if it wasn't a fiery hot seat, it was definitely more than lukewarm this year, as Notre Dame has very high expectations and he hasn't lived up to them. He's had another revolving door at his quarterback, like A&M has, like several programs have, but he's done the right things and got everything to go his way this year. So for those very reasons, I'm with you, Barry. I'm going to say Brian Kelly as well, because he was a guy that could have been losing his job at the end of the year, and now he's competing for a national title.
Okay.
I like Mark Richt. I think what Miami's been able to do so far, they're probably not going to make the college football playoff, in my opinion. But
don't sleep on them. They could.
But
they beat Notre Dame. They might.
They control their own destiny.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they'll make it, but they could. I guess they could. But there's, and I know there's two or maybe even three games that they won that were actually really, really close. But I think it's those type of games that shows what kind of coach that Mark Richt is. He's been able to coach him out of bad situations a few times this season. So I give Mark Richt a lot of credit.
Hey, it's not a bad pick either.
I'm gonna look it up because I don't even remember. Was Miami even ranked?
I don't think so.
Going into the season, I'm going to look it up.
I mean, there's a reason why they got rid of their coach and was looking for somebody else, too, because they were just kind of mediocre. And Dell can tell you more than anybody, being a Hurricane fan.
So they were AP top 25. They were 18.
Really?
Going into the season. Yep. Yep. 18. Yeah.
And Georgia was
15, if you want to be accurate.
And as much as I bang on them, but I'm going to say this. The sleeper in all this, too, Paul Chryst. Paul Chryst at Wisconsin came in. And they weren't expected to do a whole lot. They got a freshman tailback that wasn't supposed to be able to, you know, to do all that. Now, everybody looked at that schedule and said that they could do some things. They had a sophomore quarterback. And look, they're in the mix. They haven't choked it off yet, but just wait. They're still
tied. They were ranked ninth in the preseason polls. I understand where they were ranked. So, if you're saying they weren't expected to do anything.
I wasn't.
Well, that's different. I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, when you look at reality, because I think a lot of the times when these guys, some of these teams get these rankings, it's reputation. High SEC.
But
you know what I mean?
Like,
a lot of it is reputation.
But much like Mark Richt, if Paul Chryst is able to carry out the deal, if he's able to win out and get to the Big Ten championship and then, you know, be in the conversation for the Final Four, you got to consider him.
Lamont had one last thing before we get off the air. He said, answer this in the last segment. Are there any Texans players up for free agency right now that you would bring back next year? Sad part is I don't even know who's up. So I looked it up. So I'm going to read you a quick list. I'm going to stop at the players that don't make $1 million or more. All right? So these are just free agents that make over $1 million. You tell me which one or ones you would sign or re-sign. Jonathan Joseph, Chris Clark, Marcus Gilchrist, Brino Giacomini, Marcus Williams, Shane Leckler, Xavier Suofilo, Eddie Pleasant.
Shane Leckler, he may be having the best year of his career.
Yep.
Eddie Pleasant, I would look at. There was a couple at the start of the list.
Gilchrist.
Yeah, Clark maybe. Gilchrist, as you said, has been better than. I mean, he's had
the one game.
More
he had the
good
one
days
bad
than
game.
Bad days, yeah. But looks like he's promising, so you got to take a look at that. And the J-Joe thing, you got to worry about his price tag. If he's willing to come down, it's worth a conversation, and if he gives him the hometown discount. But otherwise, long in the tooth and fat in the wallet, I'm not sure I want to go back down that route.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got to look at value. Like, what are they worth? You know what I mean? What is their... what is it going to cost you to keep him? Like with Gilchrist, you know what yeah. I mean? I wouldn't want to overpay for Gilchrist, but as far as a value, he's definitely worth the 1.2 or whatever that they're paying for him.
CQ Demps, same yep. situation,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. And then Cushing's got one more year.
I think
Cushing's got at least one more year, and it'd be interesting to see if they keep him around based on everything they've been through with him. And he's long in the tooth and been injured a lot.
Yep. But of those, so Joseph is 33. I don't know if I want a 34-year-old cover corner.
No. Nope.
Even though he's playing well. For 33,
well.
He's playing well. But I think I would start with Gilchrist as a must
Focus
sign.
Has told me Jonathan Joseph is playing well.
Have they?
Yes.
Yeah, I would start with Gilchrist and then go from there.
All right. All right, well, that was a good show today, guys. That was fun. It wasn't, you know, for all you people that are going to be critical, it wasn't all sportsy. Sometimes we just have a little fun, bridge the gap between last weekend and this weekend. And
that's a good
right.
song.
I'm going to wrap it with Jodeci because I love Jodeci. They were MTV-ish.
Yep.
Pretty popular.
That's a good song.
There you go.
That's some baby-making music right there.
Indeed it is. All right, so with that being said, and storm clouds on the horizon, let's have some fun tonight, kids. All right, for Nick, for Barry, it's Joel, and we're going to talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz will take you on home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.